for the sports, for the cultural community activities and experience. Because it's important for us as a cultural community to understand so that we make the house understand. So we are now following up on the letter that you raised earlier. And there are documents that we do receive from the department that were responsible to some of the issues we raised. And those documents, a document does not talk. So when we read the document, we then need to interact with the department to ask questions so that we understand. The matters that are being brought to the portfolio committee, this thing is tiring. We are getting letters every day from people out there, from entities from all over the show. And what we do, I ask them to ever receive the letters, she forwards them to you, because you should be the first point of call when people are asleep or when people feel that they applied and there was no response from the department. You need to be the first point of call, because as a portfolio committee, we are an oversight, but we oversee what the department and the entity, you know, what you as the department is doing. So we do have I have a serious concern on this issue that are being raised by people. Only yesterday we received something from PACOP. They are actually telling us about corruption that is taking place in their state. And we've been dealing with PACOP since 2015, and we're still dealing with PACOP even today. And it's disheartening. It's really disheartening to deal with the same thing over and over again. And we believe that maybe what we wanted to do in our last meeting, that we have these people that have been allocated, these entities, for them to tell us exactly, when you come to the entity, tell us, you come at 8 o'clock, what do you do from 8 until 5? I think we need to know that as a portfolio committee. If an entity is allocated to you, what is it that you do when you get into that institution? Because now we come to hear of things that are happening in the institution from other people. And I don't think it's acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. And maybe they do tell me what they do. When I'm allocated to National Library, when I get there, what do I do? What do I look at, you know, in my monitoring of that institution? What is it exactly that I do? We need to understand this as a portfolio committee, because we believe that we wouldn't be getting so much complaints from people within and from outside of this entity. It's a serious thing, and if you don't focus on your entity, then I don't know what you're focusing. We have the agenda in front of us. Are there any apologies?
Honorable members of the committee, Honorable Makonde is proposing, Honorable Vakotasi is seconding. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. And as I've said, that DG, we don't want to discuss the same thing over and over again. It's, as I said, it's disheartening for us. And we really would love to see the department moving forward. And with that in mind, we need to be reassured that we have in place systems that are going to ensure that this happens. Because, you know, I came across something that was really interesting to me, honorable members. And let me quote this. When a leader does not address the problem becomes the leader. And the leader becomes the problem. When a leader does not address the problem becomes the leader. And the leader becomes the problem. And truly speaking, when I read this thing, I was like, at the end of the day, the leaders of the department will become the problem if these problems are not being addressed. If you don't address the problems that are there, that are numerous, at the end of the day, you will become a problem, and I don't think that is true. It's not good for you, it's not good for us, it's not good for the department, it's not good for government, it's not good for the society. So I think it's important for us to really ensure that when we address a problem, we address the problem. And we have a list in our agenda of these issues. And I think, Muna, from the documents that we received earlier, I do have some questions, but I think I will ask those questions at the end. And I don't think you need to give us a presentation because we don't have much time, but just to tell us what is happening in this area. Maybe, as we always say, that we need to get this document in, but we received the document this morning. But just to say that in this area, this is what is happening. So that we know what is actually happening in those places overseas, because we don't have much time.
Thank you. We will then follow Honorable Chairperson's sequence. That is provided to us, starting with the NMVF, and then we will follow the sequence given. The Honourable Chair, the documents that were forwarded with Santan for what happened was that we needed to our development in some of the institutions that we didn't want to come here and not present the current data information. of those discussions was, of course, the issue of the NFL, and then it was the National Library, and where there were various developments, and we then had to make some interventions, particularly in the National Library, but also to meet with the CEOs of the institutions that have gotten these challenges. So the document we are presenting is based effectively on some of the very latest information that we have to engage both of these institutions up to the meeting yesterday, when I then had to call them to the department on the issue before to the portfolio committee. Now, with the NFAF, that presentation, can we just go to NFAF? There was an issue about transferred and independent producers that was submitted. And we needed to deal with those matters. And the indication was that this matter with the NFAF will need to respond to the IPO as a first priority to say what exactly are the issues that have been asked. Among them was the issue of the FIFA, that is the IPO was a question on their documents that they are not involved. That was part of the but also then the issue was the breakdown of that expenditure about the annual financial statement to the financial year of the 1st of March 2016. And then there was a request also that they have made about the release of the comparable forensic report and into allegations of information at the NFAF. And then to the engagement with them. The first thing that happened was that the NFAF requested that they be given an extension of up until the 26th of November because the detail in relation to the annual financial statement and the information they need in order to provide a full breakdown and we need more time for them to be able to get that breakdown to provide to satisfy. We then advise them that what is important is not to keep quiet, but to write to the complainants, update them to say, based on the information you requested, we are waiting on it, this is the date that we are requiring to give you the full breakdown. Because keeping quiet and not responding to them creates a problem. So they will then say they will then prepare this document and make sure that the people of Transfed and the IPO do get the breakdown as requested. And that will then give them the opportunity so that they do not say that we give them, they provide the wrong information and the grant. Then, on the issue of the comparable report, what we agreed when we met with them to say the report needs to be, it's been requested, this is the industry organization, so provide them with the information that they are asking for and release the report so that they know what is being done. So they indicated that they will be having a process which will include the CREL conference to be held on the 21st of November, where they will then officially release the report to the industry to know what exactly were the findings and where they are with implementing the allegations of mismanagement at NFAF. So we are having that expectation that that is what is going to happen on the 21st. And the letter indicated the agency that is going to write the letter and as soon as possible after leaving the meeting yesterday to just respond to the people. And then I said we'll follow up with him and on whether the letter has been sent to the concerned people. Fortunately indicated that the person who is in fact the chairperson, he has all the details of the leader or the chair of the task force, the IPO that you are talking about. So I will then be following up with him on the first response to them, and then that those deadlines are met. The status on the appointment of the NFDF CEO, what we also wanted to know progress in this regard. And I think we must alert, that's why I was saying there were just things that NFDF seems to, when we think things are addressed and no development happened. Again, on Friday, I got met with the agency and we wanted to know the status because there is now an allegation of a leaked information to the press about the appointment of the CEO. It seems as if it is quite getting banned because there were three candidates that were being appointed in a ranking order. And the process then was supposed to be finalized by the board to either confirm or decide on this matter. But what happened was that when the text was then distributed to the board, the information that seemingly reached the newspaper, in particular, and all the journalists wanted to know and had almost all the details of all the meeting with the minister that was held, also around the issue of the process of appointment of the CEO. So the process then was attending a special council meeting they had planned for the 12th, which was to be yesterday, to discuss this matter and finalize the appointment. But because of these leaks, then they indicated that they decided to have an urgent meeting with the minister. And because they seem to know who possibly leaked this information, and two, that person is a board member, and is a person who allegedly refused to return the tech that had these details. So they now feel that the meeting, it would be better that they have a meeting with the minister, and because if they meet as a board alone, and it might not have addressed the problem the way things are around this issue. So instead of confirming then the appointment of the new CEO at this stage, and there are these developments and the meeting that they are requesting to meet, and hence they request the meeting of this. So as we stand now, the NFDF remains with the acting CEO.
Thank you very much, Mr. Honourable Members. Are there any questions on the NFDF report? I think what you are communicating to this entity, which is very important, the issue of responding to people's requests. Because there is no way that you can hide information in this day and age. You can't. There are laws that force you to give information out to people. There are laws. So the entities must understand that they can't they are a public entity. So they can't hide things from the stakeholders or from people that they are serving. And people have a right to ask questions. And when the questions are asked, they must respond. Another member has a question on NSDF. And maybe just to, I'm trying to look at this thing of the list information. Is there anything, I mean, if we did everything according to how it should be done, I really don't see why we should not proceed with the work that we are doing because information has been leaked, unless we think that there is something that's untoward or whatever. So this is my feeling, I don't know. But if you can just explain to the committee why they feel that they need to postpone their council meeting because there has been a leak. There are so many leaks now. And the best thing to do is to do the right thing. You can never protect yourself from leaks. The best thing to do the right thing. So that even if it's leaked, it can be tested. And it's the right thing. It is the right thing. So if you can just inform us. Another first one.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to find out the forensic report. So is there also a fear of leaking it to us, or should we wait for the scheduled conference in November for the report, or will we get a briefing on the report?
Thank you, Honourable Member.
You may respond. Mr. Bennett, I thought the report was given to the Control Committee on NFL. If not, we can just ask to get it now. We just ask to get it now before we leave. And then on the, I think that is quite, that's why we thought that they were going to meet it today. It's only yesterday that we got the information that they have to talk about the minister and to deal with this matter. But the indication, I think, is that the board have got serious challenges internally, which creates a problem for them to convene and be able to have a reasonable meeting, because the two members they're talking about who seriously are causing havoc, and they think that they need to discuss that issue with the minister. Because the one of those members, I think, is the one who refused to return the PACs with the recommendation. And then in that process, they were still doing what we call a referencing of those people. And one of the candidates who was there, there was information that was brought back through the referencing process. Therefore, proceeding with the whole meeting, they thought it might just have more of challenges and not have a very same meeting. But so this I met at some of the Freedom Park, where there was a long meeting around this meeting of information and conflict within the board. So I agree with the chair that maybe it would have been wise for them to proceed with the meeting and to make decisions that they, when they go to the minister, they have recommendations on how to proceed rather than to try and wait and for the minister. But I will follow up with the chair on the matter. chairperson, so that when they go to the minister, they should be able to say we have met and this is what we are proposing, or the media colleagues. But they were supposed to have met yesterday. But that is a documentation missing. That is a record we got from that
Chair, just a small and question. Aren't there, or there are guidelines that direct the meetings of the board in terms of confidentiality? If that is breached, but there are other guidelines that needs or that have to be followed if protocol or whatever has been breached in terms of the council, the board meeting, and then that should be followed. It should not be an issue. You just follow the rules that are set there.
Thank you.
I wanted to understand the process that is followed when the NDC passes the chief executive. Is it, you see, I agree with what the chair is saying, and in fact, chair, general. The problem here in South Africa are leadership problems. We don't have problems except people. What is the process that must be followed when you're appointed to the CEO? Because I also agree with the chair that if you have done the right thing and you know that this is the right thing to do, and you can stand by it anyway, anytime. What is the problem making this matter final?
And we, as the portfolio committee, if you remember, we have received information that there were two members of the board who complained to the minister. Are these the two members of the board who complained to the minister about the, just for our own understanding? Because you remember, there were two who had complained to the minister about the chairperson and some other members of the board. Are these the members? Are the two members that you're talking about now, those members that have written to the minister complaining about the chairperson?
No, Chair. And one of them was one of those who was being accused by the rest of the board. And she was removed. And then the other one is the one who was part of the new board, who was part of the those who had written to the minister. My president is two separate people. Yeah, it's a mix. Okay. It's a mix. It's a to add anything in relation to the minister. But I think one of the issue has been, as I indicated to the chair, but the chair, that is what I also, there is a process they followed, advertising the post, and getting the process up to the level where they received this recommendation. But tell me, would you like to just provide the detail
of the CEO
on the process? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. The appointment of the CEOs of our entities is normally prescribed in terms of their legislation. Now, in, for example, the two flagships that we have, the Zone and IFICO, the Act, the Cultural Institutions Act, states that the appointment of the CEOs will be done in consultation with the minister. And then the other acts, or the other entities, their respective acts would be silent on that. So the process of appointing a CEO would be the normal process that is normally followed by any public entity where adverts are sent out, and there's a short list. In the case of NFVF, the advert was out, and they appointed an independent panel to look at the received list of candidates, and they went through the process of shortlist. I think they received about 77 applicants. They went through the process of shortlist. It was done by an independent panel together with some of the two committee members, council members, who were out of the agreement, the resolution from the council that would represent the council. And then what normally then happens is that that would be taken to council for endorsement. So in this case, that process was supposed to happen yesterday, where the top three candidates would then be presented to council, and council would then deliberate on who would then be the CEO. But that did not happen because of the challenges that the DJ has already mentioned. Thank you, Chair.
If you're saying it's an independent panel, once you bring in board members, is it still independent? Once you bring in people from within, because I take it, you correct me, I take it that if you're saying it's independent, there is no influence from the people who are around the table. But immediately, that's what I think, you bring in people from the council, then the independence is compromised. This is what I think. You can assist me, you can assist me, because this is how I think. I may be wrong.
I would agree with Uche that they had people from outside who were going to be part of the panel, but then they also had council members who would sit on the panel. Mm-hmm.
So for me, it dilutes the independence if you bring in people from the board. Because those people that are from outside are people that don't know anybody here. They are people that have no interest but to employ the people.
Yes.
But when I come in, I mean, I have my own interest, I can influence. Whatever, this is how I feel. So I think it's important to even when you talk to them, you see, and I don't know. It's so unnecessary to drag these things out because they have taken a board member to be to act as a CEO. He resigned and he. He has applied.
Yes.
I don't know when I think, because I think I know that, for instance, in the board that I served in the Eastern Cape, there was an official from the department who sat in that board, not to discuss issues, but to say, be careful, there is a law that prescribes this thing that you are deciding. You are taking a decision against the framework of the law. You know? So the official who was there representing the department was there to guide us. You can make the decision, but as the official, I have actually warned you that you are doing this outside the legal framework. I don't know whether as an official you are. As I said earlier, it's important for the committee to see that when you get in there, what do you actually do? Your oversight over this entity. Do you guide them? And they say, no, we're not going to listen to you because you are not a board member. What happens? Because I think these are easy issues that you can say, guys, you can't do this because you are acting against the law. And they need to always, as we always say, act within the legal framework. This is what we are about because this is a constitutional country and we have to abide by it. Honorable Mahal.
You see, this thing that we always say that it is wrong for members of the board when there are vacancies to act in that is the problem. And I can tell you from a distance, it's just exactly the problem. You see, I come from the Popo chair. In 1996, SALGA was established. There's the one councillor who comes from my place. I'm not going to say his name. You know him.
No.
You know him. He now is working at DJT, the executive director. You know what he did, DJ? He called a meeting of councillors to establish an interim structure of SALGA. He chaired the meeting. He was elected the 18th chairperson. The first mandate of that structure was to appoint the CEO. He is the 18th chairperson. He applied. Then he drafts questions. He gives it to the panel, the other councillor. Then he leaves from that side and he finds and he was interviewed to respond to it. He was appointed to CEO. It's exactly the same. The board member was the acting CEO. He applied. He accepted. So it's fine. He did not accept the seat. Remember. He changed the seat to be this side to be interviewed and be appointed. How do you explain this? You're going to have the very same thing at any. You're going to have the very same thing. Because as an individual, when you are given an opportunity to do something, interest develops. You develop interest. And you will want to be in that seat and you will do anything that will make sure that you are in that seat and it will create a problem. So this is the same thing.
I think the questions that we have asked is have rekindled in you as the department that microscopic eye to look into the issues of this entity. You need to look with a microscopic eye. You need to have your microscope when you look. Because people from outside, may understand why people are protesting. I understand why people are protesting. Because it can't be. So I think as the department, even before people become disgruntled, you have to pick up this issue and take the board to task. It's not about about micromanaging them, but it's about them being accountable to you. You need to make them account because 80% of your budget goes to the entity. That's our position as the portfolio committee. It was our position in 2014. It's going to be up for our position until the last day we are in this portfolio committee. So I think that the questions that you ask when you go back to the department, you will be able to look at this issue. And when you raise the issue with the board, with the entity itself, you ask this issue because these things are simple and straightforward things that anybody can actually identify. So I think it's important for you to wear that, to have that eye that looks deeply in this issue. Because nothing is easy nowadays. You have to look deeper in any issue that is posed to you. So we will hear the report, but look at this with a microscopic eye. Can we go to the next one?
No, I think on confidentiality, they do have those rules. What we, as the chair said, it's just away from the team. But mainly for this way, the way that the chairperson, the report came was that they were following certain rules even to stay to him in terms of their act. She must maintain it. And she still refused to maintain the document. And so, that is where the issue of what action the board is taking and recommending to the minister should be very clear, because that it is a bridge to take out those documents. Like in any interview, you leave the packs inside the room, you don't go out with them. Actually, I think the only issue also raised is that I've taken note, possibly ourselves, when we do these interviews, there would be a role in which either you play as an observer status in this interview so that you are able to see that the process and your guide without any influence. And then that is what we've been defining the character of the panels in this course. What could be the role of the department in relation to, even if it's just observer status, that things are being done properly in that situation without having to interfere with their process itself, but something we need to put on the limit at and take the bank and we look at it within their parameters of their bank. What can we do? Because prevention is better than aid.
Can you then have the next one?
The next presentation is on the National Library of South Africa. And there were about four areas that were being raised on this issue. And again, they all relate to human resource issues. And the one that the Portfolio Committee raised, first and foremost, was in relation to that we needed to attend to the matter of the suspension, dismissal, release statement, all those issues. We can just indicate that the chair, subsequently to the meeting with the major DBG and corporate services to engage with the staff. And then later to on Friday, because there were no developments again, around the issue of attending to the office. We then again had an engagement with both the union and the executive of an LSA. Now, the issue relating to him was that initially the report that he was charged on 7 counts and was found guilty of 4 counts. And the verdict was dismissed. When that happened, and they were supposed to have what we call, if he does appeal in terms of their act, there was a process they were supposed to then follow, which was not follow according to the their act as per the report by the CEO. Instead, the HR person decided to run with the process of the appeal without following the procedure that they were supposed to follow. So, when then, that was on the 7th of September, when the issue of the dismissal verdict was supposed to be implemented. But in October, the CEO of NLS then learned that an appeal process was also held subsequent to the, instead of implementing the dismissal. That appeal process and ruling recommended that its sanction must be the final within 1 year, which then was overturning the dismissal. Then the entity, then they also then discovered that there was the appeal was chaired by an HR consultant and not by the attorney or an advocate as per their legal prescription. And when that then happened, the CEO decided to implement that same decision of dismissal. But then Mr. Majunta decided to go to the Labour Court to challenge this decision. And when that transpired, they engaged with their lawyers to look at whether the appeal process, despite their claim that it was not done properly, do they still have a leg to stand on? According to the CEO, then, they got advice that in terms of their law, it says that once the appeal process has been finalized, you cannot review it. Therefore, Mr. Matunza then had to be reinstated with that final dismissal. So final warning. So Mr. Matunza then had to return to the first return to the office. The report was that he found a resistance from the staff. Thereafter, then he had to be stay away from the office while the matter was being attended by the CEO to find the way to resolve this problem. But the thing that happened then was, when he eventually then was instructed to say he must return to office, and the staff head of that, last week, on Friday the 9th, there was then a report that said and the how is threatening, and that they would be marching to the portfolio committee and be marching to the minister's office because of the allegations that were there before, but the HR person decided not to pursue around sexual harassment matters. And therefore, this matter was not part of the charges against Mr. Matunza. So it was a new information that they had discovered according to the CEO. When then that happened, I dispatched the team to engage from the TSA to meet with the union on Friday, find out this instability that is happening, what exactly are the issues appeal process that he must return to office, then he has to return to office. He must go back and be able to work, and any matters that are relating to him must then follow the same due process. So they need to then get immediately then engage with the union, the two unions, and plus the executive. This was now on Friday. When that engagement took place, then this new allegation to the department was now to the issue of sexual harassment and the serious nature of them that have been leveled against him. And when they were engaging with them, here in Cape Town, the indication was that this is quite a serious matter. And it was not that it was never reported before. It was reported before. But it seems as if the HR person decided not to follow that matter and charge him. So these ones were wondering why Ms. Mavunga has not, sorry, why Ms. Machumba has not been disciplined in relation to this case. Or this is the allegations leveled against him. So we then said, okay, let us allow the team to find out what can be done. And they agreed that they will then, when all the matters were raised about the new allegation, we then said that they must meet with both the CEO and the on Monday, which was this Monday, to find out exactly what should be the way forward. There's been stability in the institution, the threat of the doctor, the staff are not prepared to work under him. On the other hand, there is a verdict that says it's a final written warning, he must come back to work. What should be the best way forward? Here are the new allegations that are of serious nature. The sexual harassment is not something you can take for granted. And there are concrete, and there are people who are making these allegations. They are there. It's not possible. One of the things I wanted to know was, is it just an allegation or is it a complainant or complainants? So the confession that there were complainants and it's in writing. So the meeting then took place with the CEO to discuss this issue of Ms. Machumba going back to work, to the new allegation, and what should be the approach to deal with the stability at the institution. In the meeting of yesterday, there was then a considered view that Ms. Machumba must be given an opportunity to respond to the allegations leveled against him. We provide him with the outlet, and while that happens, he must then not be reporting for work and be on leave. He must respond when he is. Mr. Machunda then must be given that outlet. And the outcome, I think was that then what ones have been given the opportunity to respond on the new allegation. While he does that, he is on leave and he responds within 5 days on that. And then the process will then be taken forward once he has responded to those to the letter of the company. And that letter was the lead issued to him yesterday. So we are hoping that he will then be able to respond to those allegations while he's still on the leave, and while the matter and in the entity is in the stability of the he deserves the right to a fair process. When you're dealing with it. So, I'm not sure if the agenda would like to add anything based on the meeting that you said yesterday around, but that is the national point of our discussion.
Thank you. We received the communication from Mr. Nakunika and he said it was the council. And he has a chronology of what happened, when it happened, and how it happened. And my interest is to know if the department looked through that correspondence. Because I think it's important for the department to look at how things are done in entities so that you are able to, at the end of the day, not be found wanting as the department. And my second question is, because the reason why I'm asking is that you have a chronology of events to say I was and the sexual harassment was not part of the charges. Ivela only when he had to go back to work. By the way, there is this charge, and it is not for the first time. There was a process dealing with this, according to what Mr. Majumuka have given us. There was a process, and if that process was finalized, and I think let the portfolio committee get deeper understanding of this thing, because we want to know what exactly happened. Has everything that has happened in this case happened within the framework of the law? That's one thing that you need to tell us. And you know, that the suspension in the first place was in accordance with the law, because we do have all that information. And this is what I think should happen when you get correspondence, and with this thing, the affair of an island, to give why we believe that you need to engage, because there are always two sides to a story. Honorable Bruce.
Okay, you have covered the part, because I wanted to check the issue of the sexual harassment that came after everything has been closed and then the case that is coming. But my interest in sexual harassment is the sexual harassment that happens within the workplace to a colleague or the employee when you want to get the extent of it. And then, a lot of people appreciate on that.
Another
from
Malcolm?
There's one part that I wanted to understand. When Mr. Machumba was dismissed, he appealed, then he was allowed to come back to work because the entity did not want to spend money on education. And then the dismissal charge was changed to a final return.
Mm-hmm. After appeal.
He appealed.
Mm.
letter? He did not take the letter to Labour Court. Then what happened? There's a missing link. I'm not getting it. What happened? If you can explain to me when he was dismissed, he was aborted an appeal process, he decided not to appeal, but he took the matter to Labour Court. It's what he decided not to appeal, but take the matter.
The second time.
He didn't want to appear.
It was a stage, some in September. He has been dismissed. And after that, he goes to work. You remember, he went back to work.
He goes back to work.
No.
Yes, because when he was dismissed, that dismissal was not even had. That's what happened. Instead, the HR person sets up a process of appeal. When that process of appeal happened, he was then given it over 10 days.
But he lodged for an appeal.
Yes.
Immediately after the
dismissal,
he lodged for
an appeal. And in the appeal, this was then according to the entity, was not done according to their procedures. Instead, it was run by this HR person who is currently on suspension for subverting the processes, for undermining the processes that they're supposed to follow when you deal with the company. But when that happened, the next stage was then for him. So when that happened, then immediately the chairperson wanted to say, no, 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 despite the outcome of the appeal, was not done properly. Therefore, the implementation of the dismissal changed. Mr. Mavon said, no, it can't be. Mr. Machondo said, no, it can't be. This is an appeal and I have vetted it. I'm not going to go through that process again. Then he said, I would rather take this matter to Labour Court. When then they were faced with the Labour Court, before it could sit, then the entity said, no, when they consulted with their lawyer, their act says, the appeal process, irrespective of that it was not done properly, the problem is that he has gone through the appeal process. Therefore, you cannot proceed, you don't, chances of winning are limited.
The Labour Court.
Yes, the Labour Court. You won't win that because it is your own act that says once you reach the appeal process, it's done. So their lawyers advised to say it's not an advisable thing. And then also then they said that was an issue of also cost to say if it's not a winnable case, then why spend more money on this thing? Let him rather come back.
The
winnable case. Mm-hmm. Because of their act. So when when that happened and the staff was aware, was known, there's no Labour Court, Matunda is coming back. Then there was then this issue of saying, but because of the issue raised by Honourable Chairman around or the also the chair, that is the mismatch of the sexual harassment was dealt with, and I think it was according to the report. And because there were no people apparently who came forth during that time, when this matter was raised of the sexual harassment. That matter was then left, it didn't proceed. That is how they are saying it.
Mm.
But according to Ms. Matumbe, that then, according to him, it was finalized, because if there is no witness coming forth, then the case is closed. So that is the issue there. So then, now, when this, now on the verge of him going back, then the issue is, the staff says, hey, you can't come back. Because, you know, we reported this matter last year, but nothing seems to have been done. And there is a written representation by the complainant around the matter. So now, that is where then the issue of this sexual harassment came about now, and to our attention, to say, with that allegation of sexual harassment, he must then have the right of reply, as per the process.
Okay,
Ed,
so that's another question.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on what did you say, the sexual harassment which was then the complainant is saying, last year I submitted to HR, and HR again, you know,
when last year?
December, and HR person did nothing about it. So now that's why it's coming up again, because the HR person is not able to attention, and he said on this matter in December, and nothing happened. So now.
So you lost it in December, and you keep quiet until something happens. You don't follow it up. Are there any follow-up that has been done to say, I have lost this thing, and it's serious. Such a statement is a very serious offense, and it has to be dealt with. You lost it in December, and then you wait until November to follow it up. Another question?
Check. I was coming to that point, because really, if the HR person doesn't do anything, then somebody with the top of the HR person, according to the leadership within the institution. So if this one takes you get to the another level and try to check, because if really, I'm not saying they are, but if really the matter has happened, you cannot wait for a whole year for a sexual harassment case. So really, this one is surprising. And again, the person who sat on top of the allegation is when he's not there. Now you are coming up to say, I've done this. Because what you are getting, I can't call this person later, or I'm not in the room, and I do any more problems. Do you see where I'm taking the point to check? It's really, but the other issue that I wanted to check. Now, the staff is saying, hire him for them, and click later. So that we give the staff, they are not an employer. They are not an employer in that institution. They cannot determine who should be in the institution and who should not be in the institution. If there are unrest or whatever, then there's a labor ground where those unrest can be settled. Because my worry is, next time again, if they feel that they don't want money, which is another person in that institution, they will threaten by going out on the street and doing that. And sometimes by a real conspiracy, they can do a conspiracy against the person, and they will win, because now, but if they sit at some phone, and then somebody is going to listen to them. Whenever they say, I can phone you, whenever my mother is there, to ask us, instead of acting against those that are helpful. Because if a person is threatening to go on the strike, it's either the strike is legal or the strike is illegal. Or whatever that they will be doing. Either it's legal or it's not legal. But really, we cannot be held. Institutions of government cannot be held in transport by employees who feel that today, if they don't want this person, then Mahume Yokindo has to fully ask to make it as a whole institution. And now, where I'm sitting now, I would really, it's a difficult, the information or perhaps even, because now I want to wear some other spectacle that the institution that is choosing or whatever, where there is a problem, is the branch that is there in Cape Town, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's the branch that is there in Cape Town. I would really want to know the demographics in that institution. So, because it might help to buy so celebrity tonight. You start yourself to have your own routine, but what type of an institution that really would do such a thing? I would really want to know about the demographics, the life institution in the Amazon, if the branch that is here, who can have any of the problem.
Honorable Macron, thank you, Honorable
There's something that is not coming for teaching. I saw it last time when the National Library was before the portfolio committee. I could see the tension starting from the executive management. And you can confirm that the person who was suspended here, the executive director of Cooperative, the man who was sitting on the far left from right from where he was sitting up. You see, he has got a self-help in the making where the institution is divided from the top going down. I can see from the report that you have given us here that all the problems that are here are from the leadership level. But the people below are just being used by the people who are fighting at the top. I've even gone through the complaint laid against the CEO of Union Media for the NCC. It looks like that has been happening for quite some time. But up until she touched her own button, then there's this complaint. We have got a serious problem, and that institution, whatever it turns out, is exactly going to happen. And I don't know what you need to do, but something must be done. It's even worse because the chair of the board, again, there's a complaint against him that is interfering. And is the one that has appointed the independent investigation against the CEO. When the CEO is complaining that the chair is interfering, something needs to be done. If you don't do it urgently, that institution is going to collapse. And that institution chair is the heartbeat of our nation, the National Library. If anything goes wrong there, the entire nation will get affected. But now I guess the sense what is actually happening there. Thank you.
Thank you, very much, members. Now we will definitely very indicated that at least now with our HR in the corporate services, to just get on zone into these matters of human resources. Because most of them are really human resource matters. It's the same challenges that we have when in these other institutions like EDC, we're saying the same thing, beginning to show challenges about human resource matters. That's why I've tasked the DG Corporate Services with her labor relations people in particular to zoom in on this area, and we have requested that the CEO submit to us the report on human resource so we can scrutinize what exactly this policy is saying, and so that we can then be able to also proactively intervene and address this matter. So at this stage, it would seem it's either they are undermining their own laws or their policies are so big that they are not enabling to engage the staff to manage labor in this environment. So the irrigation, for instance, of the meetings not being held, according to the CEO, is that they do have meetings with the staff. But the staff said on meeting, right, I think they said 5 times in the past 5 years. Now, these are the things that came up when we engaged with them. And when we meet with the CEO starting to say, when we go there, this entity team must have a right to meet and sit in the board meeting. We said they must be able to meet with the staff without the CEO. There was a huge resistance. So why we are there, why do you want to meet with the staff? And we told them, it's not negotiation of this matter. It's how we're going to do it. Because you can tell us as an executive management, your perspective, and staff have their own issues. So we have to address that matter and put it to finality in our last meeting with the CEO. Let us not negotiate the matter. Because now they think as if when someone is buying behind them, what do you want to find?
Yeah,
you know? And it becomes a huge around this matter. So, I think we will follow the matter. We are now directly on our investigation. We won't have the situation. And once we get him and point also as you indicated, just this was a balancing act now to say, if now people start saying petrol harassment, but if not, it becomes another big issue. But at the same time, he has his rights. We just wanted to follow that process. And when we say, as Honorable Solomon said, if based on his response, we are able to say no, but all of you must understand you have the same rights as he does. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not. The moment I said, let the process, true process be followed. So if he has to be work, he has to be at work. But we'll assess all those things and check them and keep the portfolio committee updated on that process. On the allegations, unfortunately, the Honorable Nkodo has already moved to around the complaints that were lodged by the staff. The interim report, that investigation has been completed. That was then commissioned by the board, and they have finalized the report, and the report has been now submitted to both myself and the minister to look at the findings of that report. I think we will then be engaging with that report, but it is now done, and it was quite good, but it's done, and we will then be considering that report and then what it says.
I think, as I said earlier, and we have said in other meetings, that as the portfolio committee, we always maintain that we want things to be done within the legal framework. We want fairness, we want justice. Because justice is not something that was given on a silver platter in this country. People fought and died for justice in South Africa. So you can't not be just in whatever you do. So it's important for us to see justice being done. I think it's important. And the issue of the legal framework, when you receive this thing, you need to, how many, when did he receive the letter of suspension? How many days did it take for the disciplinary, you know? You need to look at that and judge the entity on why, how they deal with the issues. Is it within the legal framework? And if not, you have to do something about it. You can't let people do as they please. We can't do that. Because justice must not just be done, it must seem to be done. Justice must seem to be done. Let me go to the next slide.
Then on the other seven nations, the Honourable Chair, it was just to indicate that on the suspension of the Mamun, can you just go back to that? And just to say that the date there, they have, they say that the allegation is about prejudicing the whole process of NLST and undermining the appeal process or the reparation process that they're supposed to follow. So he is on the suspension, and then the case is an investigation into his conduct that he is underway, and as they deal with the trying to bring him to book, so that then he...
Where was the CEO person. When the appeal was taking place? Was she overseas?
No.
When this thing was happening, where was the CEO?
Honorable Chair, the information she provides is that Mr. she believes now that Mr. Mamun and Mr. Matunz are in collusion. And they are, and they were, he, this HR person was called deliberately with her only information from her. And what I asked, don't you as management meet, and what are the reports that you get? She indicated that they meet how many times? Every week. So when they report, this HR person was not providing information relating to this management. That is what she said when we wanted to find out. As all this happens, where are you?
Mm.
And she said, no, we have a structure, and they have reports, and in those reports, these matters were not raised by the agent. So that is why now the director acts against him. And then on the matter of Mr. Mabasa.
So when was this guy suspended? The HR person? When was he suspended? 19th of October. So has he been served with charges? When is the disciplinary case going to take place?
Thank you, Chair. He met with the... He had an interview with the chairperson on the 7th of November. He's on leave, on study leave, and he had requested that he be allowed time to finish with his exam, and they granted that, and the interview was held on the 7th.
Which chapter?
The hearing, yes, the hearing, the chairperson who's leading the interview for the hearing. Yes, the chair.
But the letter it would go to the chair, so that the chair may inform us as the disciplinary team, but not to meet with me. My point during the meeting, who was there again? Was the disciplinary team there or was it?
Thank you, Chief. This was an interview that he had last week on the 7th.
With the chair.
With the chair. Not the chair of NLSA.
of the hearing.
Yes.
So This is what the honorable members are raising.
So when they call him for the interview, because when they call me for interview for the DC, they can call me in order to rally the questions or whatever, or they need something from me. But if I tell a person that I'm still on the exam, I won't come. So if that person comes and meets the chairperson of that hearing. And the health is said he's fighting. Then what is the thing? And that time when we came for that question, it was only for the interview, it was only two of them. You know, because two guys were from labor. If you do this process, and especially on the upper structure of the organization, leave to the director, chief director. I'm not talking about the general workers. Remember, it's all the strategic of the entity or the department that is the chair. Most of the time, I think, Honorable Magondo here will send me. It's where you will outsource, even if the chairperson outside, not the person that is inside the institution. The person that is neutral in terms of the environment. Like your entity, you cannot take somebody from, because but you are doing it. You cannot take somebody from it and then just go and chair in Pakov because you're on the same environment. Even if that's the case, you will have that team, whether it can be team of three or four, there it will be saying, Honorable Mokosi, you are going to be the chair of the proceedings. But my point, when this person comes to the interview, do other members of that committee know that the chairperson called this person to come for the interview? That's what I wanted to know.
And as we always say, if the process is flawed, the product will be flawed. If the process is flawed, and what surprised me is that we wake up at the end that this thing was flawed, like the appeal. You wake up at the end of it to say, this thing was flawed. And in the meantime, you are compromising the people who are involved in this. So I think it's important for us, Batman, to ensure that the entities are doing the right thing all the time. It's important to ensure that they do the right thing, because if they don't, you will end up with the litigation that you've shown here. Another promotion.
And then, Chair, again, in terms of this process, where is the department? Because the department can come in and observe us. With an entity of the department, how will the department make sure to check that all the issues of labor or all the disciplinary hearings are going well or are followed well? So if the department is not there, so at the end of the day, you don't have any proof of all the cases that are sitting in terms of the entity, because the department is having the labor and relation department. So in that labor relation department, we need to have some basic input of all entities. That's why entities are doing this, because they're not being monitored in all the cases that are happening on the department side, Chair.
When is the contract of the CEO getting signed?
I think April.
Yes.
You will hear at the end of April that it has been extended. You will be surprised to hear at the end of March that it has been extended for another 5 years.
So cell phone, we must keep each other's phone numbers so that we follow the issues that are happening here. You will hear that that contract has been extended for another 5 years. I'm telling you. Okay, but I think what needs to be done with Matilda is that look at the processes must be within the framework. And as Honorable Mkhosi is saying, that the labor unit, the unit, labor unit in the department must ensure that the entities, you are not micromanaging them, but you are guiding them. Because at the end of the day, you are going to answer, because we give the money to you, not to the entity. We give the money to you, and you give the money to the entity. You must hold them accountable, because we hold you accountable. So it's very important that you do this. In these cases, ensure that they do everything by the book. Because if you look at the chronology of Nandana Majuma, you see that from the onset, they did not stick the legal framework. He was served with a suspension letter, and the charges came later. So you need to look to those things and advise the NDP that now, so I think it's important for you to do that with this NDP, as Honorable Mkhosi is saying, that guide them, advise them. You're not micromanaging them, but you just want them to do the right thing at all times.
I think as DG said earlier, the role now is, you know, is extending beyond the department into the entity. And we are going in now, and with this one in particular, we are going to follow this one up. And Honorable Mkhosi, there's one HR, a labor relations person in the department. So I think we, with the assistance, of course, of the entire executive, we are really looking into how do we move from, how do we really extend the hand to the entity. But we are getting there. And I think with this particular one, we've really moved in and to really follow up on this.
And then
this one that is
just and as I usually say, when you are doing oversight, you hear the things that people are not saying. You read in between the lines. This is the duty of oversight. When you get into that entity, you listen to what they are not telling you. In their document, you read in between the lines, because there's a lot of information that's in between the lines. So it's very important for you to have that oversight mentality when you get there. You ask the right questions. That's what oversight is about. And ask them according to what they said they are going to do and what is happening. Another question?
No, yes. The department, I'm worried, what is the staff complement their cost? I think it's about 700. More. Then I something take. Then they're having problems with, they're having entities. Then they're having one person of leader. So that's why things are not working. And I wonder that person whether it's either the director or chief director or maybe on the building management. So the problem. So there's no one that foresees entities in terms of the labor. So DG, it comes to me, not to them. Maybe we need to review that.
The next
was charged with two matters, and mainly, and that one of bullying, harassment, and incompatibility. And then subsequently, incompatibility with organization, and chair in the organization. So then the tribe even thereof then started on the 5th of June 2017 and finished on the 3rd of April. Then the sanction was dismissed and then they also being found guilty on the two matters. However, then the matter, she put it to CCMA and then it's the sitting date on the 3rd of December. Then on the matter of Brian Mabata, the issue there was that he's charged with irregular appointment of staff and intent and failure to conduct personal evaluations and delays in implementing disciplinary processes against Mr. Majunza and Mr. Mulawuti. Then the matter there is that the legal team of the NLSA has interviewed Mr. Mabasa on the collective level against him, and then they prepared a report on the 21st of May. Then the report indicated that Mr. Mabasa admitted to all the charges leveled against him. And therefore, then they entered into a separation agreement, very common settlement, in which they agreed to pay him 2 months salary, and he leaves the institution. I question the issue.
I'm found guilty. Do I? Is there a need for a settlement? If I'm found guilty, you give me a 2 month. You actually are saying well done.
I raised this question with the CEO directly to say, why would you reward someone who says I am guilty? And the indication was that the likelihood was the outcome was dismissal. He might have went further to challenge this instead of maybe getting a written warning or whatever, and that would have cost them more money than a 2 month salary, and therefore then they thought it would be cost saving to let him leave the institution and at the same time not incur further legal costs. But it happened some time ago. This matter was first concluded the 1st of May. That was my direct question. How do you
Because if I admit that I've killed this person, I'm guilty. I've killed this person. This person is dead. I've killed him. I admit it. I mean, intending being nice and mourning the letter of the year. Because I admit that I've done all these wrong things. It's a challenge of the life. Can we follow up this matter? And I think we need to follow up this matter, and something has to be done with it. There should be consequence management. Yes. There should be consequence management in this issue that has been faced here. I don't think for you to give me 2 months salary, and I'm saying I'm guilty. I don't understand. I don't. Follow up this letter, and then consequence management must follow. Tell us what you're going to do with that. And the next one?
On the matter of Kharkov, there were three matters that we need to present to the Honorable Committee. And that is the allegation on collusion by the CFO and the FCM manager on the scandalous operation of regular expenditure, court on procurement of council members for gospel show.
And on receipt of the correspondence from the member of staff at ACOPS, then a ministerial letter was then sent to chairperson of ACOPS. That
to interrupt. I just wanted to find out, maybe this is a spelling error, the procurement of council members for gospel show. I'm trying to understand the procurement of council members, or was it procurement of material or what for council members, something like that. So just assist there.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Kutbum, one of the council members is an artist, and yes, she sings, and there was then a complaint from PACOS that she is using her influence as a council member to use PACOS for her own shows.
Can I ask, is this case related to Honorable Soledi and Makondo now, this one?
No. The allegation relates to the artist. In this case, it is Miss Nogare. She performed at PACOS, so she used PACOS to perform a concert. a gospel contract that she was, you know, that she arranged.
But I think, as Honorable Makondo indicated earlier, we need the information, and Honorable Solicitor said we need the information, because when you say she performed there, what actually happens when I have to call to stage a concert there to perform in that scenario? And then, what is this that she did not do? How did she get there? I think it's important. It's only then that we, as the portfolio committee, can get a picture.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Indeed, we received these allegations. Hence, we then said in our response that upon receiving the allegations, Minister inquired from the board, from the council, that the council should respond to confirm, but also to give detailed reports on what actually happened regarding these allegations.
So you're still going to get this?
Yes.
Yes, the investigation is going to work in and to get the report from the investigator. In other words, they appointed the moral and their investigating action. So what we need is just to get their report and what are the findings of that report.
So, Chairperson, is it possible for members of the council who are artists to take advantage of their membership and organize concerts so that they benefit?
Pack that question.
I'm a council member to organize, like, give me a concert. Where's the CEO? Where's the CFO? Where's the COO? Who's signing for those money? Who gave them? Because in the theater, there's somebody that is managing the theater, you know, the booking, all those things. You know, where are they? Because if you take the change from the cutting to the stage, you know, and the same board, how would the same concept, how would you trust it if the same members do that? If that concept did happen, the whole a concept needs to know, not to say none of them, they don't know, which is, it may be the affection of the others in that concept, others they know, others don't know. But for the mere fact that concept did happen, check, there is a problem in the court.
I think, Chair, maybe this is going to be an eye-opener, but also for the department, because if an artist is a member of the board, what does the legislation say in with regards to that artist, the subject, institution, relationship? Because sometimes, and the other thing that is not clear, that I really wanted, perhaps when in the report, as really is aware, whether the concept, was it a concept that was solely sponsored by Pekop, or is a concept where they hired a venue to have a concept in Pekop? Because sometimes it happens like that. You have your own, you just hire the venue because it's a Pekop for a venue, you hire it and then you perform the concept. I don't know, maybe the report would come with that information. But I'm very interested in this one to know exactly, because I know of that hospital show that took place around March. Yes, around March. It took place, the hospital show, just that
It does happen, not only the recording.
and you must follow up the person who I don't want to say countries, who said that Honorable Makondo has said that. Go through a trade, if in the cases that are referred to CCMA, Labour Court, or so on and so on and so on, and where she is a witness, you will always find a stage where even the commissioners will declare that your evidence are misleading. I'm just throwing that to you. I'm just throwing that because this old, I know her. So it disturbed me because really I was looking forward to a stage where she would say, this is the evidence of one of my colleagues. But on this one, who has put a copy in any other way?
Another to Chairperson, you see, as a committee, we are members of parliament. That's why they call us honorable members. You see, it's so sad if there's a matter that somebody brings a matter to the committee. I choose a committee member, which is a member of parliament, say whatever that said in terms of the meeting. When the parliament now says, can you please bring the evidence? Now the evidence is not there. It shows that this thing is a scheme, it's a lie, and it has taken our time, including the time of the South African outside, talking about this thing. You know, putting all those things, sending it to our email, but I was at home when I'm making first time people's emails. I'm a member of this community, you know. So if one of our members, not to say we're standing together, but if one of our members is being accused, then we said, bring the evidence. Now today there's no evidence. What's that? Is it a blaming, people are blaming this thing on us, or what? We are members of parliament, and we cannot allow things like this to happen. And to leave them like that, she must go and want to let her kill him, otherwise you are coming after her. It's not a threat, Chairperson. We will send the parliament will send the legal team or the legal thing to her because she wanted to do that to us. We have the power to do that to her. Remember, it doesn't mean we're a member of parliament, somebody must come and violate your rights. You are a human being, you are being protected by the Constitution of South Africa. We are here to do the oversight, but not to say to take people down. We are not here to abuse people. But if you abuse us, because she took our time discussing this matter, we are sitting now, we are discussing this matter again. We were maybe supposed to check issues of PAPOP, if on the issues of HR or something else, but you are checking her. So we are not going to back down on this thing. Otherwise, she must come and apologize. Or we'll have a big character. She must come and withdraw the thing. Yes. Because remember, it's everywhere, and we are discussing it here. So she must come and tell us what is happening.
We have to
Now I'm guilty in the eyes of the public.
You are.
Without being afforded an opportunity. To confirm whether I said that or not. But I don't blame you. I blame the department. Because the department set up a process that is not independent and not impartial. I knew from the onset that this process was just to blame me from
work as a member of parliament. I don't blame him. But I want the record, but then it's my record. If the situation is like this.
So it's only fair that if we cannot get the recording, she must personally come here and tell us where did she get all the information.
I'm failing to understand this issue of recording. I don't know, maybe my label is no longer but in that case, if I remember well, we were in a meeting one day, the recording was to be played, and it said that it's an open phrase, we can't get or hear the words clearly. So we'll find another time in another place to listen to the recording. So I wanted to check with, when we say that there is no recording, are we talking about the one that we're listening to in one meeting one day, or is a new thing that we're talking about? Or maybe
the same
one. I wasn't all in that committee. Was something else. But if I was there, there was something that has been made by the department.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. So, can I explain to you?
Yes, there was a recording, but that recording that you're referring to is the one where the allegation was made when she was interviewed by the department. Now, the recording that the committee is talking about here now, that the committee wanted, was the one whom Dr. Diso was referring to, indicating that they did a recording during the oversight, the actual recording, where Dr. Makolo's voice would be heard saying that statement. But the one that you're talking to is the recording that they made the department during the interview with the two.
The meeting with the minister.
Yeah, the meeting with the minister. But the one with Mr. McConnell's voice, that's the one the committee, the GAC is saying they don't have.
Is the department saying that they don't record oversight meetings? None of the oversight meetings were recorded during this period, in the 4 years that we've been here. None of the oversight visits, where the department is present, were ever recorded.
When did they know that they are not recording the oversight? Because the other time, they promised that they were doing recordings and they will repeat the part.
That was the promise.
Yes.
That was the promise. And when you promise, you know that it's the promise.
Check. The recordings, yes, actually it's correct. The recordings that we had in the previous meetings were the meeting that was convened by the minister. When we do our site visits, we have our recordings because those are the meetings that we have initiated and we have convened. However, when we become part of the portfolio committee oversight, because that is the meeting of the portfolio committee, what we normally do, we will take, for example, in this sitting today, we will write all the things that the committee is expecting of us to to report on in the next meeting. We will not record this meeting because our understanding is that this is the meeting of the Portfolio Committee. If there are any recordings, we will request them from the Portfolio Committee. We only record our meetings.
Normally we are being recorded, even now as we speak. There is a tape here that records us. So where does this come from?
PMG.
Now can't we request the services of PMG?
We were in Bloomberg.
That's just
simple. Oh, okay.
We were in Bloomberg.
All right.
Were interpreting.
But then who hosted us that day? And there was no recording.
That's what they are saying. I think do you have the notes taken on that day that the department had minutes that were taken on that day?
Yes, we do, Jim.
Can we have a copy of those minutes?
We will make them available.
Because as it was, we can't leave this hanging. We can't, as the Portfolio Committee, leave this thing hanging. And we still want to follow up the initial allegations. Because what you are dealing with now, some have been dropped along the sideways. And you want the initial thing, those things that we were alleged to have done as the Portfolio Committee. We want them here. Because you don't wake up one day and come up with allegations and wake up tomorrow and say, I get Akateko Apa for honorable police manager. Because she was there. She was one of the people that were mentioned. So I think this department must look into this thing and this, we won't leave this hanging. Because we will be late, we will leave with a cloud hanging over our heads. We want to set the record straight. And we need the department to ensure that we do that.
When are we getting those records? You were there then?
Before, we usually set, we give a day or two. We give a day or two, and we're going to be very busy. From next week, we won't be having a meeting with the department because we'll be busy with the interview. So we won't be coming next week. We are busy with the consultant.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we, department, please assist us on this one, and as I am saying that, we need to ensure that we conclude this before the house arrives. Before we go home, we must have concluded this. And in a way that's going to ensure that everything is cleared. Next one, please. We run out of time.
But I think Honorable Nkolo was quite strong way. And I think in the meeting that we went to PACOS, we were dealing with challenges of PACOS, not about the oversight role of the committee. It was about challenges of the board and the conflict there, the dysfunctionality and stability that was there. But then the process we had, which I believe is a fair process, was to then meet with the board, meet with the executive, meet with the staff. What are the issues? At no point at that time, and to date, was there any sinister intention to either find out something against any member of the board of committee, so that there can be an act of blame. I think I must put that on record. If that is happening, it is not at the behest of my knowledge and therefore ours was to deal with the matter, and that matter then arose. That is why to date we are not hiding that tape, unedited tape, of proceedings that took place on that day. And we provided that tape. The only tape I can't talk about is the tape of the oversight meeting, because I was not there, and the team has confirmed that they did not do the recording. And it's not possible to produce any recording if the visitor did not have the recording. But I just want to assure members of the committee, also, and Honorable McCormick, no intention whatsoever from the side of having that meeting to blackmail the committee.
But then what's my record? I'm not to hear. Fine. I can hear you. What you are saying. But then what then is my record? An allegation has been made against you. And that allegation, as long as I'm not given that opportunity to prove it, it will always be on my face. Everywhere I go, I will go with it. If the next time the committee will go to PACOF, I will not go there. Because that matter has not been resolved. You see, there was once a matter chair that took a very long time. Of prima facie evidence, but not available in court. And here we are today. There's a matter, and this matter exists, but there's no forum where this matter can be ventilated, but because it cannot be proven. Then I will just go around with this matter on my face. Because lay commission, I find that so.
And I contend with what the owner must have said, that because the voice is indisputable, maybe she must then come and present the case to the committee, and that will be the time opportunity for the committee to establish the facts from fiction. On the Honourable Chairperson, there was an issue on cancer. There were questions that were forwarded to us, and we needed to respond to the question that the portfolio committee sent that to us. And among those was the appointment of the fellow and company, and then Ramulifo, proper. First question was, was there any investigation commissioned by the department in regards to Ramulifo? Maybe, Chair, I must just indicate here that this question seemed to relate to a matter when there was Mr. Zwane, who was a caretaker CEO, and this one is as old as 22 years to find out. And I'm correct in terms of the case. So, one tried to say, can we get deeper into this question and find out if there are any records relating to that. So the first thing was then on question one was that the investigation was apparently commissioned by the caretaker CEO at the time through the company called Mumba and Associates.
Can we please see? Okay, let us wait on this matter, but just tell us the position now. What's the position in terms of now with no with an acting CEO, and we'll restore the staff in our own time. Just tell us the position in terms of what's happening with the suspended or CEO that is on leave. What is happening in that space?
All of the said, what happened there? There was an offer, a proposed offer by the lawyers of the suspended CEO for a settlement. And when that offer came to the department considered that offer and felt that it will not be proper, and that the terms and conditions were. when we also looked at, and it was felt that it's not proper to do that, because the report by the investigation indicates that these were matters of serious matter and are willful matters through the process. And therefore then the decision was that we turned down that request for settlement and then allowed the process to take its course. And that is where the matter is as we speak now, around the issue of the CEO. The case is proceeding. And I had not coming here and checked when the last meeting. I couldn't just check that has taken place and when is the schedule gone, how close they are to closing the matter. But that is the status where we are.
Is what there is a dynamic process.
And there was a decision that based on the, they came with the settlement, but there was a decision and that the disciplinary process, because the matter I think was taken to control you, I think so that he had challenged the jurisdiction of the department to discipline him when the outcome has not been finalized on the powers of the minister. To that. And therefore, then we were advised that we can't proceed with the DC when that matter is not determined. So the DC has not happened. We had to stop immediately after that.
So the matter is still in court
pending.
Do you have an idea of when it will be heard?
We'll have to check the chair because it's a process of court and it's quite it might be difficult, but we'll have to check with our legal.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need information, give us the information so that you know what is happening in the test, because it's one of the institutions that has been started to stop you. And with NAC?
NAC, what happened was that we, after the meeting with the portfolio committee, we then followed up on those matters. We wrote a letter to the chairperson in relation to them having two CEOs, so that was the priority matter. And what came out was that in the analysis, when we wanted to find out why the HR person can't, I then looked at the organogram, so I wanted them to explain what exactly are the levels, because you cannot allow a situation where you appoint someone when there is a capable person inside. And the excuse, we couldn't accept it, just the reason that said he was sure as new. So we then to find out what exactly is the level. Just like in any environment, then we find that in fact, she is a junior person, not a senior manager, and then therefore then can't be acting as a CEO. We then decided that there was a meeting on the 5th of November where the chairperson came, and in that meeting there was then an agreement that yes, they are ready to stop the acting of the current acting person, but they require a the department assist with the person who will then act, because the HR person indeed is not at a level of acting as a CEO. It's too high a position compared to her current position. In that issue, then we are looking, Honorable Chair, at finding a person either within the department or outside of the department. But what we have looked at for now was to look at one of the institutions and get the person who can act without necessarily importing the person outside corrupted, so that we also stay with the financial management. So we can come back to the chair, to the full committee by the 20th, I'm sure we have identified and finalized. We'll just test the water around the matter, and it would be too early to now share that with the control committee when we also would like to introduce both the board as well as the individual that we have earmarked that we think can do the job. And that would then mean that in all probability, come the end of November, 1st of December, there should be a new person acting then.
So it's clear that for November, you'll be paying to see it.
Yes, sir, because we need to find an alternative.
What is the vacancy rate in terms of the senior minister in the national outcome? Is that the service at the lower level, and what level is that? And what is the current vacancy rate with the suspension of the CEO? And the CFO is right.
No.
Is that why can't the CEO act?
We indicated before, they are all implicated in acts of misconduct. And they are being, they are all affected by it. So they are being charged. They are undergoing the process of disciplinary hearing.
But the CFO is in Edward.
Yes.
So why can't a person act? Because there's nothing that prohibits that particular person from acting. If you are still investigating and you're not suspended at present, you should have suspended at present.
No, they're not saying that investigation was done and completed on the check. And they were then implicated in that. And the process of discipline that is what is currently being undertaken. And because they are executives implicated in acts committed as executives, and then the issue was how do they appoint them to still act in the very same position where they are accused of wrongdoing. And that was the challenge.
Let's get the end mark. The CFO is at work today, Tony. She's performing the very same duties that it's she or it.
She.
She's performing the very same duties that normally a CFO would perform. There are allegations against her. She has received challenge. I think it's no. Because last time when the board came to us, they said they were dealing with the federal son, then they are dealing with the CEO, then they will come. Yeah. But even if she had charged and we have not suspended her, there's nothing that would not allow her not to act in that position, if there's a vacancy. There's nothing. You can, if you decide not to discipline, I mean, if you decide not to suspend her, but decide to discipline her when she's at work, she can still act. There's nothing that will prohibit her from acting in that particular position. In law.
an advisor to call them. If they that would help us to just make sure that we stabilize things in the data. And this has to be something, it was important to them that I on the matter because someone who has sustained those allegations also the control committee is not here. We are still in sanction of the Christian community. And the person does something wrong again. And we were aware that that was the case. And there's no outcome of the matter against that. But I concede what the member is saying. And we can put that in advice.
I'm looking at that thing that's saying the CFO, the allegations that happened and FBF to drop and the new charges against it. What does that mean?
Hi,
can you start to turn
up? I think there was a legal process that they followed. They will just fill in here. But when there was they went to the legal people who looked at the incentive, the lawyers, who then looked at the acts of the entities, but also then in terms of the public service. Now, their take was that the entities are not regulated under the public service. Therefore, they do not operate on the basis of what we do when you move from one institution to another institution. Therefore, it is not in the purview of the new institution to charge this person as though they are being governed by the same act. Therefore, that institution must charge only for failure to disclose that she was in fact running away or she left the institution she comes from facing disciplinary processes during her interviews. And that should be the charges that she must face because otherwise in law you will not have a basis for anything to charge.
And as the department, what are you doing to the board? To the board that employed her, not having reference, you know, not checking the references. What is the department doing about the board that has put it in this position? Because it's the board that employed that lady without doing the references. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to the board? Because they are the people who are guilty in this instance.
And I think there are a number of issues relating to this project that need to be addressed. I think that is one of those things that you need to look at and say, Minister, in terms of your powers, what can you do around the board of the chairperson himself when he was sitting there? Because it is a given that they fail in their responsibility.
Have they adjudicated any problem, any program during any project during this financial year? That was. Have they looked at any project this financial year? Have they done any adjudication? And how much have they spent?
Thank you, Chair. They have appointed chairs of panels who are supposed to adjudicate. Minister did raise a concern that there hasn't been any disbursement, and they then had a session where they appointed chairs for people to chair the panel. I know that they did meet to look at the proposals, but I would request that we submit the exact figures of how much has been awarded.
You know, you have a board that employs people that are not supposed to be employed to investment. You have a board that in the towards the end of the second quarter, they have not dispersed anything to those people who need the support of the department. You have a board that is going to pay two CEOs 142,000 come this end of the month. What type of a board is this? What type of a board is this? Is this the board that is the department you are happy with? Is this is what boards are supposed to do? There's a serious problem. And when is the disciplinary, so this is, how long has this disciplinary process, how long has it taken if we are saying by the 25th of November you will be done with it? How long have we been sitting on this thing of a disciplinary process with the CFO? How long has it taken us to do this thing?
Can you just share the time when the process for the appoint, when they appointed the
CFO? The CFO.
For the CEO, that is when they started the process, and that is when then there was a meeting where they sent the exchange the documents, and then they came back and said the sittings were going to be the 6, 7, and 8, and then that is when of November, and we came back to the portfolio committee, and we then agreed that we were going to go back to them to say they must send this matter is agent, and that is when then the letter was written by the minister to instruct them to finalize the process.
By the 25th.
And submit the report to the minister by the date of the 21st of November. So we are hoping that they will then give us the status first. The sense was that they don't include agency. You remember, Honorable Chair, that they had indicated that it might be found somewhere in 2019. And then the board, that this report committee raised serious objections on the matter, as we also did. Hence, then we put in writing to say, you must be seen to be doing something. And then, even now, when they met on Monday, this matter was raised, and they were. Then they indicated that they respond in writing if they have issues and or not meeting the deadline. But I will do is that you work towards the deadline. If you don't, you leave the thing open and that you're not gonna. So they must be able to say if they've got any challenge, we'll deal with that come the deadline. But for now, Minister has set the timeline.
Yeah, I just look at God. Expressing of that example, and I don't know why as the department we weren't taking the necessary action. Because if you allow this thing to happen in one entity, then it's going to happen to all entities, and you've created a precedent. And honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have enough time for some of the questions, but I think the questions that I have on the issues that on the documents that you submitted earlier are going to the written questions, I'm going to give them to Ajabulu so that she responds to them in writing, because we won't be having the meeting next. We are in the process of having interviews for the temple board. And we know that that's our legacy project. We need to lead a board that is going to deliver on this Monday, which I think is very difficult when looking at the emptiness of the department. But we thank you very much for availing yourself for this session. And as I said, the questions that I have, I will give to Jan. And honorable members, if you have any questions or follow-up on this matter, just make a written question to us, right? Send written questions to the department, and they are going to respond to our questions. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Which one? The Winter Department?